Proverbs chapter 6. And let's pray. Lord God, we pray this morning that you would teach us, help us to know your word, that we might be obedient to all that you say. And Father, we'll give you the praise as we live a life that is pleasing in your sight. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I need a little bit of help this morning. Tell me something that you hate. Just raise your hand up and then say, I hate, and tell us what you hate.
I hate work.
You hate work. Driving. Mean people. Pain. Pain. Busy bodies. Ezra?
Mondays.
All right. Who else? Drinking. Drinking. Oh, okay. Drinking alcohol. All right. Who else? You hate haters. All right. Now, let's take it a step further. Tell me something that, not something you hate, but goes beyond that. Something that you just really, I mean, it's just beyond hate. Liars.
Troublemakers.
Who else? Drinking alcohol. All right, who else? Some of you just really, I mean, it's just, we would use the word loathe. Just loathe it. Thieves, okay? People that hurt children. You know what I loathe? I bet some of you will agree with me. Peas. Peas. You agree with me, that's right. Peas. I just can't stand them. I mean, I look at them and I just feel like vomiting. I just hate them. I'm so glad that my wife likes vegetables as much as I like vegetables, which is not much at all. You know, in the Bible, there are several places where you see a list plus one. God will say, this is something about two, and then give you a third. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, he gives us six and then gives us a seventh. He says, these are the things that God hates, and the seventh he abhors. The word hate in this passage simply means that. It's something God hates. The word abhor goes beyond hate. It means to loathe. Now, when you think of God, you don't usually think of God and say God hates. When you think of God, you think God loves. And no matter what you mention, God loves. Probably the only thing in your head you could think of that maybe God would hate with just the general idea of sin. But this passage tells us God hates six things, and there's a seventh that, man, he really, really, really loathes. He abhors. Let's look at them. Number one. It's found in verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 17. God hates haughty eyes. Haughty eyes. Now, I'm sure I don't even have to define this. You probably already know what it means, but the word haughty means to be lifted up or high. And of course, it refers to proud. Pride. When someone is proud or someone has pride, the eyes represent the attitude of the heart. The position of the eyes describes the attitude of the heart. They show what is in the heart, and they, in this case, they show that the heart is full of pride. You know, there are different kinds of pride. There is the pride that causes you to get up out of bed in the morning and go to work, even though maybe you don't want to. There is the pride that when you make something or do something that you want it to be the best it possibly can be. Those kinds of pride are not sinful. There's the pride in your son or your daughter when they do something well, or your grandchild and they do something really well and you're just so proud of what they've done. It's not sinful. The other day I got to watch, maybe a month or so ago, I got to watch my granddaughter walk for right near the first time. And that felt so good to watch her across. We did it on Skype. Grandparents, if you have grandkids who don't live near you, Skype is the greatest invention in the world, where you can video talk to people on the other end. I remember when I was a kid and they said, you know, there's going to come a time when our phones are going to be video phones. And I thought, that'll never happen. And it's so neat that we have it. None of those things are wrong. But there is a wrong kind of pride. It is the pride that you have when you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, boy, ain't I great? There's the pride when you look around at other people and you say of others, boy, they're so dumb. They're stupid. They're idiots. Or you say, I can do it better than them. You say that I'm smarter than them. You say that, you just come out and say, look, I'm better than they are. That kind of pride, when you look down on other people, and not just because you're taller, but you look down on other people because you see yourself as better than them. When you have that kind of pride, God hates it. Remember a while back we had someone come to our church that wanted to serve and help in our church. And they were actually at our church for a long period of time. And I watched and I could really see some things just weren't where they ought to be. And I finally sat down with them and I said, let me ask you a question. Do you even like the people of Scranton and Wilkes-Barre? Do you like the people who live there? Do you think you're better than they are? The first answer was no, and the second answer was yes. Now, how are you going to minister to people that you think that you don't like and you think you are better than? You can't. You know, you may be sitting here this morning and thinking in your head that there are some people you think you're better than. That somehow intrinsically you are better than somebody else. I want you to know, if you have that attitude, God hates it. He hates it. In fact, you know what? It was the very first sin. Turn with me in your Bible to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is proud and you have said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of the gods, in the heart of the seas. Yet you are but a man and no god, though you make your heart like the heart of God. Notice he's talking about the prince of Tyre, the king of Tyre. And he does so all the way down to verse 10. It's very clear he's talking about the human king. But the human king becomes a picture of someone beyond human, beginning in verse 11. Notice it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Notice, though he says the king of Tyre, he's not talking about the literal king of Tyre. He's gone beyond that person to somebody else. And he talks about somebody that was in the garden of Eden. who was full of wisdom and who was perfect in beauty, who was a signet of perfection. And when you keep reading down to verse 17, it says, your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I expose you before kings to fear their, or to feast their eyes on you. It's very clear that when we get to verse 11, he's gone beyond this human king and he's gone to Satan, the angel who was in the Garden of Eden, who was created by God. Notice, not with a horn, not ugly and red, not with a tail. He was created perfect and beautiful. But on account of that beauty, he, so to say, looked in the mirror and became proud. And God looks at the sin of pride, and every time God sees the sin of pride, it reminds him of the very first sin of the angel that he created, who may have been the greatest of all angels. And he looks at the sin of Satan in the heart that became very proud in Satan's life. And every time he sees that very same pride, God hates it. It was seen in King Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar walked and he saw his kingdom and he looked over all he said that he had made and he saw what he thought was his own greatness. And God sent him out to walk like an animal. God punished him for his pride. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, it says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance. If you have a strong, growing, real relationship with God, it says that you will hate pride and arrogance. In fact, Proverbs 16 and 29 says that pride goes before a fall. Proverbs 21, 4 says, haughty eyes and a proud heart are the lamp of the wicked. Proverbs 26:12 says, Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Think about that. There's more hope for a fool than a person who is wise in their own eyes. There's more hope for a fool than someone who is proud. Sad thing is that those who are proud try to justify their pride. They base their pride on maybe they look better than someone else, or maybe they have more money than someone else, or maybe they have more power than someone else, or maybe they have more friends, or maybe just in their own mind they just think they're smarter than others, or they could do it better. They often don't. They often don't even try. They just sit back and make fun of everybody else. God hates pride. God hates haughty eyes. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 6. There's a second thing that God hates. Notice verse 17, not only does he hate haughty eyes, but he hates a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Someone who is deceptive or deals falsely. Verbal communication, which is not true, it is false. When you tell somebody something with the purpose of not telling them the truth, when you say something in order to deceive, when you just come right out plain and clear, tell a lie and hope you don't get caught. As a pastor, I have been lied to many, many, many times. Many, many times I've talked to people about their relationship with God and where they are at in life, and I have been lied over and over and over, especially times when I go and confront someone who's done something wrong. I mean, they just lie, and usually when I do that, I know what's going on. I know all the ins and outs. I know what's happened, and I just wait to see what they're going to say. And they often get caught in their own words. Do you know that every single time you lie, you follow the father of lies, who is Satan? that every time a person lies, they're really acting like Satan. The Bible says it's better to be poor than a liar. In other words, if you have to get ahead at work by lying, you'd better off being poor. Colossians chapter 3 says, do not lie to each other since you have taken off the old self with its practices. In other words, once you get saved, once you become a Christian, once you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, lying should stop. Once you get saved, you don't lie at home, you don't lie at work, you don't lie out in the community. Once you get saved, lying ought to stop. Watch this morning, they brought on a psychologist, and the psychologist was reporting the findings of this new study they just did, and it said, according to this study, 98% of people lie. 98% of people lie. And I'm watching the study, and I'm saying to myself, I don't lie. But 98% said they lie, and many of them lie about things that don't even matter. They just lie as a part of life. Some lie when they get in trouble to get out of it. Some lie to get ahead at work. Some lie to sell something. Some lie just in everyday talking to people. They lie to the people who are closest to them. They lie to the people they don't like. They just lie all the time. God hates lying. He hates it. In fact, according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, the Bible says that people who lie on a consistent basis will go to hell. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 8 says, all liars will spend an eternity in hell. In fact, I find it pretty interesting, but the very first lie that the church had to deal with was the sin of lying. Ananias and Sapphira lied about how much they had given in the offering. There's a book that was written several years back called The Day America Told the Truth. And according to that survey, it said 91% of everybody lie routinely. 75% lie to friends. 73% lie to siblings. 69% lie to their spouses. And 86% said they lie to their parents regularly. You know, things like when you get up in the morning, you don't feel like getting out of bed, and you tell your parents you're sick when you're really not. In fact, recently, one noted physician said this: lying is an important part of social life, and children who are unable to do it, who may have developmental problems. So we're now living in a world where the specialists are telling us that if you don't lie, you have a problem. That's how much we lie. God hates it. Number three, not only does God hate haughty eyes and a lying tongue, but notice that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. The word shed means to pour out. Innocent means someone who is free of guilt. They're clean, they're innocent. You know, there are times in the Bible justifies killing. Example would be if you're in war and you're a soldier. When you are defending yourself or you are defending somebody else, maybe a family member or friend, and someone's trying to kill them, so you defend them, and in defending them, you kill the person who's trying to kill you. Here it speaks like that. Here it speaks of killing the innocent. You're not killing someone during a time of war, trying to defend yourself or someone else. You are just going out and killing someone who does not deserve it, who is innocent of any crime, and you go out and kill them. Thus, you have no regard for life, the value of life. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6 prohibits the shedding of innocent blood. Blood that is created in the image of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 says that it is the sixth commandment that we shall not kill. Of course, you know the story that Cain killed Abel. Sin was crouching at his door, a desire to master him, to have him, but he let it happen. There's the story of Jezebel killing Naboth, or having Naboth killed so that she might get the field for her husband. There's the example of Hitler killing millions of Jews. I was talking to someone the other day, and they told me about an incident he had with another guy. And the other guy sitting at his house said, you know what, Hitler didn't go far enough. He should have killed more. And we have in America, the United States, killing millions and millions of babies through abortion. And I don't know how believers, Christians, could ever pull the lever for president or Senate with anyone who says that they believe abortion is okay. Number four. Fourth thing that God hates is hands that devise wicked plans. Notice that in verse 8. Excuse me, the end of verse 7. No, beginning of verse 18. A heart that devises wicked plans. The word devise speaks of our thoughts. You know, the ones we looked at so far are things that you do. This one speaks of what's in your head. It's not gone any further, at least at this point, than your head. The basic idea of the word is the employment of the mind in thinking activity. The reference is not so much the understanding, but the creating of new ideas. So in your head, you are thinking about wicked plans. Evil always begins in the mind. Before we do evil, we think evil. Our thoughts lead to actions. Bad thoughts lead to bad actions. Sexual crimes often begin with pornographic magazines, especially serial killers. Romans chapter 13 says, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen to this, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Do not think about how to sin. Do not think about how you can get away with sin. Evil actions, we're told in Mark chapter 7, evil actions come from the heart. Our thought life is important. We need to be consistently asking what's going on in our head. And if your head gets filled up with evil thoughts, begin immediately to pray God to remove those thoughts. Begin immediately to think about things that might remove those thoughts from your head. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 tell us the kind of things that we ought to think about. And it is a shame that so many Christians watch so many shows on TV that are full of evil. And we think it is okay. Number five. Feet that make haste to run to evil. Feet that make haste to run to evil. The word make haste means to hurry. It means you're rushed to do something. You're in a hurry to get it done. In other words, as soon as you have the opportunity to do something that is evil or wicked or wrong or sinful, you do it. You know, there are some people that kind of struggle with sin. They don't want to do it, and they try not to do it, and they run from it, and they're trying to do everything they can to resist, and sometimes they fall into it. And there are others that say, hey, I don't care. I'm just going. So the first opportunity they have, man, they're doing it. Those two people who may end up sinning are vast differences of hearts. This speaks of the person who takes every opportunity they can to do wicked, to do evil. Isaiah 59:7 says, their feet rush into evil, they are swift to shed blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. Doing evil should be so far from our heart and our head and so far from our hands and our feet that we run in the opposite direction. God hates feet that run toward evil. Number 6. Look at verse 19. A false witness who breathes out lies. A false witness who breathes out lies. Now, I want you to notice something here. We have a list of 7 things. 2 of the things deal with lying. Just like when I asked you what you hate and then what you abhor, she said drinking twice. Someone else said something else twice. God, in this very short list of things that he hates, in this list, twice mentions those who lie. Now, the first was lying in general. This is lying in a court situation. It's a courtroom setting. Someone perverts justice by lying in court. They may be lying about themselves to get out of trouble or lying about someone else to get them into trouble, but they're lying. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 5 says, a false witness will not go unpunished. He who breathes out lies will not escape. They used false witnesses against Jesus to have him crucified. It was the only way they could get him. Look back at verse 16 again with me. Says there are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are abomination to him. We've looked at 6. Now, when you have a list like this, the emphasis is on the 7th. The 6 are there of things God hates, and then the last one, the one that God really abhors, the one that God really loathes, the one that God really can't stand is the 7th. Now, all these 6 take part and get into the 7th. In other words, the 7th one uses all these actions that are mentioned prior. So notice the thing that God puts at the top of the list of the things that really he just cannot stand, that God absolutely hates, that God abhors, that God loathes. Says, one who sows discord among brothers. The person who sows discord among brothers. Discord means quarreling or strife. It means that you separate people. It speaks of intentionally trying to cause division in a group of people. It may be to get your own way. It may be to hurt somebody else, but you intentionally try to divide a group. And in dividing the group, maybe you're hurting one that you may get the group to follow you. I wish I could think of a better word than loathe or abhor. I can't. Maybe I could say it this way. The thing that really, really turns God's stomach, the thing that God just goes beyond can't standing, is when someone would go in a group of people and for whatever reason they choose, they begin to divide, they begin to separate, they begin to cause quarrels, they begin to cause division. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And skip down with me to verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles. Avoid them. How do they do it? They do it by smooth talk and flattery. Skip over with me to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. Pretty strong words. God says these are the things that he hates. In fact, this last one is the thing that he absolutely hates. I mentioned when we started that I hate peas. I mean, I really, really hate peas. I don't eat them. If you invite me to your house to dinner and there are peas, I'm not going to eat them. I'm going to pick them out. I'm going to do whatever. I don't eat peas. The last time I ate peas was when I was a kid. And in our house, if food was put in front of you, you had to eat it. And my parents put peas in front of me. And I said, Mom, Dad, I can't eat the peas. Just can't. They do something to me. Well, that was not an option. So I ate the peas and promptly went in the bathroom and peas went. Just something between me and peas. I know it's weird. But here's the thought. This is a list of seven things that God absolutely hates. The application is real simple. If the person that you love, God, hates these things, should we not avoid them at all costs? And make sure they're not any part of our life. Let's pray. Father God, help us, Lord, to do what is right. Help us, Lord, not to do these things. Help us, Lord, not to have any part in them. And I pray, Lord, that knowing you hate these things, we might seek only to do those things that you love, so that our lives might please you. Help us, Lord, to do that, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll ask our artists to come forward as we take our morning offering.